Hey everyone, welcome to the Family Business Podcast. My name is Dominique Sampson.
And my name is Malobi Sampson II.
And on this podcast, we're going to talk about everything from relationships, careers, God, therapy. Listen, we are talking about it all.
So sit back, relax, and let us take you on the adventure of a lifetime.
Money, 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 money. Money.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about. So, dig in your pockets, pass the offering plate.
Pass the plate.
And let them know what you came for. No, I'm just kidding. Today we're talking about something that's very important. And I think that too often we don't take the time to discuss this.
Why are you doing it like that?
Because you gotta be deep in the introduction. No, kidding.
We're talking about Dave Ramsey's. We're gonna do a review and kind of just share with you about Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University.
Where we are. This is also side nugget to throw in there. This is not a completed review. Like we're in progress.
Sure.
With this thing, and we're giving you the in progress review.
Sure. But nevertheless, we're giving you a review of Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. The reason why I say a review, because both of you and I, like, we went through Financial University, but anyways, stop talking with my grammar.
Both of you?
You and I went through Financial Peace University when we were single, when we were not together, correct? Mm-hmm. So we have that understanding of having gone through the program, but for real, this time we're trying it again as a married couple who share finances and who have these conversations and are trying to get to the next step in our journey. So just a breakdown of Dave Ramsey and his story. If you haven't heard about Dave Ramsey, he has a podcast here. Go to his podcast, listen to him, and, you know.
Ramsey Solutions podcast.
Sure. So go to his podcast. His daughter does some stuff as well, Rachel Cruz. His whole family is getting his whole family involved. Such a great thing for them to do. But essentially, he was a very wealthy person at one point.
Still is.
His background, his story. Oh, go ahead. Had humble beginnings, became very wealthy at a young age. Really did some things with his money that all of us do, actually. Lost all of his money. Made money. I think he did it twice, actually. Made money again, lost it all again. And throughout that process of him making and losing, God dealt with him and really healed his finances, healed his heart about the things, and taught him how to use finances in a biblically based way so that he can bring wealth for his generations and teach other people how to get wealth as well. And we were watching one of his videos, and he said he's actually taught the most people how to manage their finances,
get out of debt.
Yes, manage their finances and get out of debt out of anybody in the whole world. So that's really interesting. It's a really bold, declarative statement to make about yourself and what you do. Can any of you say that you've helped any number of people do any one thing more than somebody else in the whole entire world?
Yeah.
That's like a big statement to make. And if you interact with his content, and you will hear him, and he is pretty bold in his appeal to people to get out of debt. And so I just wanted to go over his baby steps.
Good idea.
And just talk about them, and then we can kind of talk about our process in working in this. Shout out to Transformation Church. We are not members of Transformation Church.
No.
And this is not by any means saying we believe in everything and anything that happens at Transformation Church. It, you know, God is God at this point, right? But shout out to Transformation Church for this, because their pastor at that church said, I was watching one of his live streams or one of his videos at one point, and he was talking about getting out of debt and helping others get out of debt. And he was saying that he believes so strongly in getting out of debt. You probably even can go find this YouTube video or YouTube clip someplace. But he was saying he believes so strongly in getting out of debt that he's partnered with Dave Ramsey and Ramsey Solutions, that as many people who want to get out of debt, who want to get out of debt will be willing to try his program. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
He offered to sponsor anyone to take the Financial Peace University.
Yeah.
And anyone at the physical location and anyone who was watching online, stream online,
which was like huge, because he didn't just give the basic like plan. He gave like the pro plan that came with every dollar, the budgeting app, and that came with the support and, you know,
coaching, all
the things. Yeah. And so they shout out to Transformation Church, because again, we are trying it for the gazillionth time because of them. And we are super serious about it in this time around. So I'm just so glad for being able to have that resource and somebody believe in people enough to want to give them that shot. So thank you, God, and thank you, Transformation Church. Yeah, we appreciate
it. That was awesome.
So his baby steps, I'm just going to go down the list. There are 7 of them. You can find this anywhere online at this point because Dave Ramsey is popping. So baby step number 1 is to save $1,000 for your starter emergency fund. Baby step number 2 is to pay off all debt except the house using the debt snowball. You want to learn more about that? You can look it up on YouTube, on Google, or just take the Financial Peace University course. Baby step number 3 is to save 3 to 6 months of expenses in a fully funded emergency fund. Baby step number 4 is to invest 15% of your household income into in retirement.
Okay, yep.
Baby step number 5 is to save for your children's college fund. Mm-hmm. Baby step number 6 is to pay off your home early. And baby step number 7 is to build wealth and give.
Yeah.
Those are his 7 baby steps. Take it away, honey.
Baby steps. I think in my review of this and being able to discuss it as someone taking it with a more sober and mature mindset now.
Yeah, for sure.
I think one of the differences between going through it when I was younger and going through it where I am now, I think baby step number 1 intimidated me. And I listened to this for the first time in high school. Just my aunt had it. Shout out to my aunt. And so downloaded the whole thing, put it on my little iPod classic or something. Whatever I had. iPod mini, maybe. It was like a short, tiny little one. And I would listen to it in the mornings going to school. And so it was good to hear. And so I remember one of the sayings that Dave Ramsey has that I didn't like at the time. Well, when I was in high school, I really liked it. And then later in life, I didn't like it. And now I'm back into a place where I'm like, you just got to do what you got to do. And that quote is, live like no one else now so you can live like no one else later.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's tough.
It is. I didn't like it because I was like, no, you should be able to do both. You should be able to live like everyone else and get financially where you want to be and do that your whole life. And I didn't realize the discipline, much like any other area in your life, takes discipline. Mm-hmm. Well, if you want to become great or good at something, if you want to be a good steward of something, it takes discipline to learn it.
Yeah.
You know, that was not something that I think I was mature enough to handle. So high school, I was not ready for that. It also felt hugely impossible to raise $1,000 because I was like, what, 4 figures? You know, and so I didn't have that kind of money coming in. And even when I did have money, the biggest money I ever saw growing up was when I got to college finally and I saw my student loans kick in. But that was only for a short amount of time because it was going right into the school, right into your books. And so it was like, man, trying to decide, okay, you don't get enough loan money to cover everything. You get enough just to like decide what you want to spend it on.
But so I had to decide, though. Like, I had a lot.
Yeah, not me. I thank God for it now because now like my loans aren't astronomical. But
and I have a lot.
Right. But I think in that I'm like, okay, cool.
But let me, can I just preface that? I have a lot because I also paid for my housing. I bought a vehicle. Like I did some of the things. I didn't have a ton of, like family financial contributions. My mom did what she could, and people gave where they could, but it wasn't like when I needed food every single time, or when I needed clothes, when I needed pads for that matter. Like, none of that stuff was stuff that I could always bank on somebody else doing. So I had to learn pretty quickly how to be self-sufficient. And unfortunately, loans in school and credit cards, like all these like terrible, terrible things, I got mixed up in a lot of that, trying to just make it from one day to the next day, to the next day, to the next day.
Yeah. And for me, just honestly, it wasn't that I had super rich family, and they did support, but honestly, mm-hmm. it was like the favor of God and family. So sure. It was like my aunt inviting me out to live with her in Kansas. And so then, because I finished high school out there, mm-hmm. I could get in-state tuition, which was significantly cheaper. Mm-hmm. It's cheaper to do in-state tuition in Kansas than it would be to do in-state tuition in New York City.
Wow.
So I'm grateful for that. And so that was part of the reason too why like my loans weren't crazy, because it was like I was going to school
mm-hmm.
in the town that I was a resident of. And so then it was easy to be able to have a lower number. So high school wasn't really mature enough. The second time I did it was like through, okay, maybe that's an honest, well, I'm just being honest. We didn't really do it, but we knew of a real estate mm-hmm. company that was mm-hmm. offering it. And I think mm-hmm. we went to one session maybe.
No, we went through a couple of sessions, but okay, we definitely did not do it. Yes, we didn't go all the way up. Yes, you're right.
So we weren't really in a place to do it then. And so now we're in a place where we're like, okay,
we need to do it at this point.
We need to, I think more than that, because we could still get by without doing it. But I think we're in a place where we need to be in a different space
mm-hmm.
more than we need to just do this because it's a nice, cool experiment to be doing right now, I think. And so going through it now is really cool, because I'm looking at it like it's possible to do these things. So it's possible to raise $1,000. We've done it. Cha-ching. It's possible to be able to start to pay off your debt, cha-ching, and feel good about like, no, there's a plan for where this is going.
Yeah.
And I think in my response to taking this, one of the things that Dave Ramsey does very well and his team is they help you to reshape how you should be thinking about money.
Mm.
Because for so long, my perception of money was like, it comes and it goes.
Mm-hmm.
You're waiting for a big payday. And that big payday is going to help to solve the issues that you've sort of accumulated over time.
Yeah.
And I've never looked at money as like what you do with the small, and managing that well will help you to be able to manage large and grow the small until it becomes large over time.
Yeah.
You know, and so there are a lot of tough things that he's prescribing you to jump on board with, like paying cash for everything, which is like, whoa.
Yeah, that has been surprisingly challenging. And cash being like what's on your debit card,
right?
Your, you know, check card,
which you have access to,
exactly,
not using other people's money to pay for stuff,
exactly, like not what's on your credit card. That has been super challenging, because there have been some really tight spaces, and I'm like, ooh, we don't have the money over here, and always in my mind, I'm like, oh, but we do have the money over here. But I'm just like, that is such a muscle to have to train, honestly, to not tap into credit cards or any of those other things, which takes some discipline. And you know, if I'm honest, it takes some faith, because to tap into credit cards that have high balances, that have high amounts on them, that takes zero faith for me to be like, oh, I don't have it on my check card, but I do have it on my $1,000,000, you know, couple thousand dollar
limit card,
my credit cards.
Yeah.
I have it over here. So then you're almost like the old saying, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
When it's like, if I don't have it over there, then I literally have to be like, hello, God, we need manna and we need some meat and we need some fire and some
light.
We need some things.
Yeah.
And so it causes the Christian to have to redirect themselves back to God, who is the great provider. If he, in fact, is our provider,
yeah.
And if we believe that, then we have to actually
do it.
Be about that.
I think to that point, you know, there's a lot of scriptures that shows what a mature Christian, what the trajectory of a successful Christian should be. Mm-hmm. One of them being like, you're the lender, not the borrower.
Sure, sure, sure.
Right? That you... can't serve two masters. And so a lot of times
we're a teenage Christian.
We're forced to be in a position, silly, where like you serve the master that you've indebted yourself to. So now I have to pay these bills. I'm not even able to be like, God, where do you want me to go freely?
Exactly.
Because it's like
that thing just snapped up on my account.
Right. If I wanted to be a missionary, you couldn't, right? Because it's like you owe so much money.
Yeah.
And I would venture to even say people can't even conceptualize being a missionary, not because of the challenge of going out on the field and just helping people with the gospel or just serving people and helping people and just freely, because it's like, who's going to, like, one of the first thoughts, who's going to pay my bills?
Mm-hmm.
One of the second thoughts is like, so that means I got to give up all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, so often money becomes this, like, this chain and ball, like you lock yourself into something.
Yeah.
And so to hear his, to hear the way that he's helping to shift and really renew your mind on
for
money,
sure,
is really,
sure,
really powerful. Things like, you know, your credit cards are just as insured as your debit cards.
Mm-hmm.
To hear things that, like, you can buy a car on a debit card.
Yeah.
You know, to hear things that,
mind
crazy,
blown.
Yeah, like stuff like that.
Can I finance this?
And people are like, oh yeah, cash is king. You can go in there with cash, but I don't know anyone personally who's doing it, and I don't hear that often advocated for. So more often than not, it's like, oh, you can lease. Oh, you can do all these things, and it's like...
Some people say, though, and I know he has testimonials from different races, different ethnic backgrounds, different socioeconomic statuses, all that stuff, but do you think that some of this stuff is... out of
for the white folk?
Sure. Yes, for lack of a better phrase.
For the white folk.
Shout out to my white brothers and sisters.
No, I don't. I think a lot of it is discipline. And I think one of the bigger challenges to our community in the African-American black community is like we are probably one of the biggest in debt.
You think so?
Groups. I think so.
Let me look it up.
And I think across, so let me clarify this a little more. I think there are many people in the financial sector who have become wealthy through debt because they know how to like maneuver and to leverage their debt. So I don't mean like one white person who's a billionaire and he has like $500 million in debt. And so he can eat up most of the African-American population debt. But when I think about like people who have stuff on layaway, if they still do that, people who are doing like, what's the name? There's like a bunch of them now where you can do like buy now, pay later. And so you get it. And I would imagine like most of that stuff is marketed and advertised to low income communities because the people who can afford to do stuff, either one, they do it, or two, it's given to them for free.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's not a thing where they're like, financially doing that. I think the second thing is for many, and I won't make the generalization across the board on all African Americans, but a lot of the people within my peer group, and my peer group is changing, but a lot of people in my peer group are people who have very limited understanding or knowledge of money.
Sure.
Right? I think one of the things I was not considering until I started to think about mentorship for real was like, how many people do I know who would show me their bank account?
Yes.
And say like, this is what I have in it. This is how I got it. Let me look at your bank account. Let me give you advice on how you can grow and do all these things.
Yeah,
and so
sure,
there's not many, if any, people who I know who would be doing that. And so for me, I'm like, okay, this is a very, even amongst family, right? Like, I don't know many family members who would be like, hey, this is an open, honest look at what I have going on. And so that's more so what I say. I think there's the people who I grew up with were not people who were financially astute.
Mm.
You know, it's more so that, like, there's this notion that, like, Everything is always looked at as my money or my thing. So it's very ownershipy. It's very hidden. It's like what happens in the home stays in the home type like that.
Competitive.
It's I'm so, in the range of, you know what I mean? So that type of thing. And I think that plays a huge role in like the ignorance plays a huge role in our effectiveness in managing and stewarding our money.
For sure. Because it's almost like we hoard it. And when we're hoarding it, we're actually keeping it from other people who might need it. That's deep. So Bill Fay with debt.org did a statistic study updated July 21st, 2023. We'll link it in the show notes. But in his study, or in his, in his study, he found that the family net worth by race is $188,000 for white and non-Hispanic families, $24,000 on average for black families, $36,000 for Hispanic, and $74,500 for other races, multiple races. So on that, blacks have the lowest net worth, according to the study. Also, total debt by generation, the silent generation, ages 75 and above, have the most debt. Have 40,000 debt. I don't know why he did that. Have 40,000 debt. Baby boomers have about 96,000. Gen X, which is 40 to 55, have about $135,000 of debt. Millennials, which are ages 24 through 39, have about $78,000. And Gen Z, 18 to 23, have about $9,000 in debt.
In debt, okay.
Hold on.
Even though some of his things I would challenge, but okay.
Income by education level, if people have a bachelor's degree or higher, $115,000. No high school diploma or degrees, they have $30,000. So,
okay. Yeah. So,
he has some other information. We'll link his information down below in the show notes so you can read it for yourself and challenge or not challenge, but there's some statistics for you.
Yeah. So, I back to the Dave Ramsey thing. Some of the things on there have questions on.
Sure.
Because I recently heard that I think the most wealthy group is either, well, I guess they would both be considered Asian, but Asian American. So either Indian American or Asian Americans, because more of them being doctors and all those different things, their average income is a lot higher.
In America?
In America, even amongst white people. But I heard that, so that's why I said I might challenge him, but maybe he's also correct. Going back to my review on the Dave Ramsey thing,
sure.
One of the other things is he's also helping to shift and helping to renew my mind on how to think about finances biblically.
Sure.
And it's funny because depending on who you're around or where you grow up and all those different things, there's different spectrums on how Christians look at money.
Mm.
So some people are like, money is the root of all evil. And it's a misreading of that scripture.
Sure.
Right?
Because the love of money is the root of all evil. Right.
Right. And so, and even when you take that into context, then it's like some people have a love relationship. If we look at the scripture that says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Sure.
If we apply that, this theory or this thinking may be a little bit of a stretch, but if keeping the commandments of something is a form of love, is me keeping my payments timely and trying to maintain all of that stuff a form of love, because I'm trying to keep the commandment of you pay me by this time. And people who are faithful or loyal to a credit score, it's a question mark around that, but that's a thinking or thought.
Mm-hmm.
I think on a middler spectrum is kind of like a
not a middler.
But in the middle of the spectrum, it's this idea that like
the middler.
Money is like a, I don't know, you look at it as like this thing where it's like you're not doing well financially because you're not tithing, right? So it's like, you haven't given your money if you robbing God, so now he's robbing from you. You know what I mean? It's this idea that like God has this vendetta.
God is stealing from you.
Specifically with your money.
Right.
And so then we try to stretch it to like, and your time. If you don't have time, talent, you're robbing God and he's going to take it back from you. Yes. I don't know that I fully take that stance. Mm. I do think it's important to tithe. I do think it's important to give.
Yes.
But I don't think God's like, oh, you didn't tithe, now you're impacted. And I have seen when I don't tithe how it impacts me, but mm-hmm. I don't correlate the two. Because I think that there can be there's other issues at play.
Mm. So we got into a really great conversation and we want you guys to come back for part two of this conversation on the next podcast. We cannot wait to see you. Please make sure that you join us on the following podcast to pick up where we left off. Okay. Everybody have a blessed day and we love you. Mm-hmm.